We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 397 of the world's most dangerous podcast. I'm Chad Dotson. He's Chris Garber. We're going to talk now. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Chad. I am talking now.
You are talking now, and now I am talking. We have a few things we want to talk about on this week's episode, and really three primary topics. So let's take the first one. Hey, did you see the Cardinals fired Mike Schilt,
their manager? St. Louis Cardinals?
The St. Louis Cardinals. The team that won 17 consecutive games to overtake the Reds and make the playoffs briefly. Fired their manager.
It's surprising, isn't it?
I got a text from Bill Lack earlier today. He's like, the Reds would never do this in a million years.
Well, no, they wouldn't. And I figured out why. You see, the reason Mike Schilt was fired was over philosophical differences. And to have philosophical differences, one must first have a philosophy.
Ah, indeed, sir, indeed.
And so the Reds, having no organizational philosophy to speak of, can never be at odds with their manager over such a topic.
Right. I mean, you know, you can't have any difference of in philosophy if you just don't know what you believe or what you're here for. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I guess that's different. I mean, having one versus not would be a difference. Maybe that was where Dick Williams left. But, yeah, that's something, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I was, of course, who knows? What was really going on there? We don't actually watch the Cardinals every day, but my goodness, it seems like maybe they want to win. I don't know. And they didn't get it done. So they're making changes in an effort to get it right. That's what it looks like from the outside.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know what to say. I mean, the team, they didn't really underachieve. I mean, hopefully the organization didn't look at the last couple months and say, well, we clearly had the talent to win 17 out of 20 games all season, and therefore losing to the Brewers was a failure.
Right. Or we made it to the playoffs and, you know, we were only there for 3 hours or 6 hours. I think each game lasts 6 hours in the playoffs.
That's right. Well, no, such things don't bother the Reds.
It's true. Reds game time last night. Zero hours, 0 minutes, as someone said.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You know, the last time that you and I talked, we talked about David Bell getting that 2-year extension, and we were both kind of like, okay, whatever. But it kind of does show a difference in philosophy between these two organizations. That was has been apparent for two decades, but it really puts it into focus to me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just kind of baffled by the whole thing. I kind of want to say cards in disarray, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Who are they looking for? I mean, I was very entertained when I saw some of the candidates floated out on Twitter this afternoon.
Was Yadi among them?
No, but that's a great idea.
Player manager, Yadi
Player
Molina.
Player manager, yeah, that's a great idea. No, Well, our good friend Skip Schumacher,
ooh,
the three names floated out there.
Sir Grittiness.
Yes. I
miss him. Yeah.
The stomacher himself.
Love that guy. Really? Any other interesting names?
No, I honestly didn't even recognize the other two guys, so yeah. I was reading too fast. I got excited with Skip.
So David Bell wasn't among the possible candidates, I understand.
No.
We got David for that. Yeah, I don't know what to make of it, really. I mean, this is all speculation, and who knows what's going on inside the clubhouse. And you know, I know there's a significant portion, I was told today, of Cardinals fans who not pleased with Schilt, but I think that's the way with every organization. I think everybody has a group of people who really hates their manager.
Yeah, and I think I've either I've grown up or I've realized how little it matters or how many bad ones are out there. I don't know which it was, but I care a whole lot less about who the manager is.
Yeah, I think in the wake of Dusty Baker, who I just thought was miserable, I just reconsidered, first of all, and that's what we said about David Bell a couple of weeks ago. You know, David Bell's just like almost every other manager. He's not really, he's not great. He's not bad. He's just your average manager. And managers, frankly, get too much credit when the team wins and too much blame when they lose, certainly. But, a guy like Dusty, you could tell what he was doing. It was something he does, and it's still now, whether he's going to get a ring, because he's never had success in the playoffs, really, because he's Dusty. But man, he does something that gets him there. I don't think you can argue that at this point. I mean, you can.
Well,
but
no. I mean, look, I would love to play for him.
He seems like the greatest guy ever, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you want him to be your boss?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least a guy you get to hang out with every day. I mean, I can see why players love playing for the guy. If he exasperates fans, kind of who cares, really?
It's true. So who knows? Maybe Mike Schilt.
You
gotta be careful.
You're pushing the line there with the FCC and Mike Schilt. Maybe that's why he got fired.
Oh, maybe. Maybe there was a problem with one of their broadcasters.
I pride myself on being a man of faith, Chad.
And there's a deep dive to our next topic. How about that? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we have anything necessarily to say about it. I wanted to talk about it because it's just kind of a stark difference. The Reds collapse down the stretch, sort of collapse down the stretch, and their manager gets rewarded, which is whatever, And the Cardinals go on a great run, but do not advance in the playoffs, and their guy's out. So,
I'm getting breaking news here. The other two candidates are Oliver Marmol, who I don't know.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah,
and this I can't believe I zipped past this name. Stubby Clapp.
Stubby Clapp.
Yes, indeed.
Got to be careful with the FCC on that one, too, I think.
Those are the two internal candidates and contagious conditions.
Oh, man. It's like the old joke, what's your horoscope sign? I'm a Cancer. It's a freaking disease. And the animal it's associated with is a crab, another freaking disease. I don't know. I'm going to have to edit that out. This might be the record time us going off
already,
the rails, Chris.
Boom, we're 3:43 in, and it's already we got three fines pending.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, Skype Broadcasting Network.
literally a dangerous podcast tonight. So, you had I didn't see this on the Twitters last night, but you had an interesting conversation. It sounds like, and it's a really good question that I would like our listeners or viewers, whatever they're called, to think about. You want to tell us what that question was you posed to me?
Yeah. It was, so I forget who started the conversation. I was, as usual on Twitter, butting into somebody else's conversation. But the conversation was, it was Obscure X Reds, I think. Mm-hmm. And Carlos Guevara were chatting. And it started with Jim Irsay, the Indianapolis Colts owner, promising, multiple championships in the next decade. And Obscure X Reds brought up the fact that Bob Castellini made such a promise and kind of got into there. And then the conversation, turned into money, and then it turned into the Brewers in Tampa Bay. And Obscure X Reds brought up a story, which I guess is we believe. I don't know if it's ever been proven, but that Dick Williams and his team presented to Bob Castellini said, hey, look, here's a plan, a philosophy, if you will. We can run the Reds the way Tampa runs their organization. You don't have to spend a lot of money. You focus on development, and we think we can consistently win this way. Now, the catch is you got to keep payroll low by trading off all the star players when they get to be in their fourth or fifth year. And the story goes that Bob Castellini said, hey, I don't want to do that. The fans will be upset. That's not how I want to run this organization. And so the Reds did what they did. And Carlos said he didn't want that. He didn't like that idea. And I thought, I don't know how I feel about it. If the trade-off is the Reds are in the playoffs every year, the Reds make the World Series here and there, but as was brought up, they didn't win the World Series. They don't have a trophy. But the downside is you got to trade Jesse Winker right about now. The downside is you probably traded Joey Votto in 2012. You probably traded Tucker Barnhart. You probably trade, Michael Lorenzen. So some of it doesn't bother me that much. But yeah, what's the deal? Here's the question. Would you rather have, National League Central Division champion T-shirts and hats and a couple pennants flying, even if you don't get to win the whole thing? Or would you have rather watched Joey Votto do what he did for bad teams for the last 10 years?
Well, do you have an answer? Well, for you personally,
I think I'd be happy with him winning. I mean, the example that I thought of, try to be the kind of the most on point, was I liked Mario Soto. I have a lot of good memories of Mario Soto. It was cool when Mario Soto was one of the best three or four pitchers in the league. But I kind of have better memories of Jack Armstrong. or Randy Myers, guys who were only on the Reds for a few years, but we watched them all the way through October, and they got rings, and they're kind of, So I think if that's the trade, I think I have a lot of Reds that I like who were on the team for a short period. I don't know. It's a tough question, though. I see both sides of it.
I can definitely see both sides of it. I imagine everyone listening will have their own opinion about that and reach out and let us know what it is. To me, actually, I mean, I can see both sides of it. It's not even a question to me. Boy, I've enjoyed Joey Votto over the years. I enjoyed watching him every day. It would have been sad if we'd lost him, 9 years ago or whatever. But it's not even close for me. Get me in the playoffs every year. We'll have other guys making memories and becoming our favorite players.
Isn't it then just the NFL, where players don't really have long careers, and certainly not with the same team? Maybe one or two guys is on the team for 10 years, but everybody else is 4 years and they're gone. But if your team's in the playoffs every year, you're cool with cycling through 7 or 8 good wide receivers.
Right. I mean, we need to acknowledge up front that we are rooting for laundry, as Seinfeld said. We're rooting for the shirt. And yeah, I got lots of favorite players, but I do also have some favorite players that were here for a brief period of time. Shin-Soo Choo, love that guy. We should have been around longer. Does that mean that we can't still have favorite guys? Joey Votto goes on to another team, and we still... I mean, I love the fact that he's been with the Reds all this time. But the fact of the matter is, in order to appreciate Joey Votto, you had to watch him. And in order to watch him, you had to watch the Reds. And that's not been fun very often.
Yeah. Yeah. And to keep comparing to other sports, it's not like the NBA, where even if your favorite player's on a bad team, he's at least on TV the whole 40 minutes or 48 minutes of the game.
Right. Exactly.
Joe,
he's on the court.
You get to watch Joey 4 at bats a night. So a combined, 15 minutes of Joey Votto time every night.
Yeah. And the rest of the time we're watching Skip Schumacher. Just about
did it again.
Skip Schumacher. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I mean, again, when you phrase it, you didn't get to watch Joey Votto's great career. Well, no, you still can watch his great career. And then, no, he's not wearing your uniform, and that would be regrettable. That's not ideal. I'd rather have them both. But the fact of the matter is, it's so much more fun watching this team when they win. And as I recall, it's so much more fun when they get in the playoffs and have a shot at the World Series. No, you know, the Rays haven't won, but man, what fun the seven friends of that team have had every year that they make it into the playoffs. I don't know. I just, to me, it's not even a question. And I know that it is a debate. And I know that probably 50-50 people would fall on either side of that. But to me, after all these years of losing, I guess maybe I've just been beaten down. I just want to get in the playoffs again.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think you're right. I mean, I'm not going to have any kind of, I don't know, I'm going to feel a whole lot different about Nick Castellanos. If he's here for three more years and they keep losing, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, we look back on great memories of Adam Dunn because there are no great memories of the team winning during that time period.
Yeah, think about Nick Castellanos. Here, he, 2 years, he's, and probably that's all he's going to be here, but we'll talk more about that in a moment. Let's imagine a different scenario where the Reds made the playoffs and maybe, you know, maybe made their way to the NLCS. Just a, you know, fun run. They win that wild card game, knock off the Dodgers, and they get all the NLCS and they lose in six or seven games, right? Ultimately, we'd look back and say, wow, that's a fun team. And Nick Castellanos moves on next year. We're still all going to love Nick Castellanos. You know, he's still like a name in the history of this organization that we're not going to forget just because he's playing for the, you know, the Yankees next year or whoever. I don't know.
Yeah, well, here, I mean, this isn't exactly 4 years and out, but do you? Well, I mean, it's not a fair comparison, but I mean, Javier Baez, Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, those guys weren't on the Cubs all that long. I mean, Rizzo maybe, but you know what I mean? Like 6-7 years and they're gone.
Yeah.
That's.
But they're still, you know, legends of the organization.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Right. You know, so I don't know.
Yeah. If you're asking me to give up what we have with Votto, you know, I don't want to do that, but man, I would.
Even if it isn't a World Series.
Sure.
Because I think that's kind of like a little bit of an unfair framing. You know, that's how it was framed to me, but I think it's a little unfair because I am very much of the Billy Beane school that the playoffs are a crapshoot.
Yep.
And especially the way they're structured now, where you're going to have either the Dodgers or Giants eliminated tonight, and they're probably the two best teams in baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's kind of why I was hoping the Reds would just be able to sneak in, because you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. You know, the best team rarely wins. I think I saw I don't know how accurate this was, but some study said that in since they went to this current playoff run, or maybe since they just went to wild cards period, only 17% of the time has, you know, whatever the computer said was the strongest team won the World Series. That's just baseball, you know. Unless you want to make each series, you know, 21 games, it's going to be tough to really, truly, you know, have the best teams win most of the time. But you got to be in that playoff to win it. You got to be in the tournament to win it.
Yeah, and look, to anybody who complains about good teams being eliminated, the problem is not the structure of the playoffs; it's how many teams are in.
Yeah.
So that can be another podcast, but you know, I have feelings about that one too.
Yeah, I do as well. I don't know. I just think about all those four straight years of losing 90 games, and yes, I enjoyed watching Joey Votto. You know, 2017 Joey Votto was great. Probably should have been the MVP, but my goodness, you know, you just don't want. There's no reason, no desire to tune into the game except to maybe watch him, and that's just not. I'd rather watch a team that wins 90 some games every year.
You're
coming away feeling good about the team more often than not.
I'd rather watch Billy Hatcher jump up and down and celebrate than, although he wasn't because he was hurt, but than I think I'd rather watch that than Joey, you know, be an MVP candidate.
Right, yeah, and even as great as how much we enjoyed what Joey did this year, Billy Hatcher's a great. That's a perfect kind of figurehead for this conversation we're having. Because how long was he with Cincinnati? I mean, as a coach, he was there. He was there forever. But what, a couple years?
Two or three at the most. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Very short timer, but you know that guy got hits in his first 38 at bats in the World Series, and so you know he's a star.
Yeah, 2.5 years.
Yeah, see, but Billy Hatcher's a Red. You know, he was in his T-shirt out there celebrating out in Oakland. So anyway, that's a great question. I look forward to hearing what everyone else has to say about that. Now, which side of it was Carlos Guevara on?
He was firmly on. he wouldn't trade the, as he put it, what he'd gotten in the last 18 years from the Reds for anything. Now, look, it's a different deal for him. I mean, in case you don't know, he played in the Reds minor league system.
With Joey.
As a teammate and friend of Joey Votto. So, yeah. You know, he's got a different perspective probably than just, you know, Joe Sweat Sock fan like you and me.
Sure, sure. Yeah, yeah. And I'm not saying that if you agree with that position that you're wrong, because I can absolutely, like we said earlier, I can see the arguments for both. Just it's not even close for me personally, just because I've suffered so much with this team for the last, you know, 25 years. Ugh. Yeah. Are we done yet? Can we stop talking about this team?
And this has been another episode of Red Leg Nation Radio.
So the final topic for the night before we get into some viewer mail questions is one that I want to try to tackle. I tried to imprint, but I want to talk about what the Reds should do this winter. Now, we know that there are reasons to believe that the Reds are not going to do everything they can to compete. I think the you can read the tea leaves on that one.
You're going to go get the shortstop.
Right. We're going to, but I want to look at it as if, let's imagine that the Reds were really truly going to try to win. you know, they were 83-79 this year. Okay. That's the best
winning record.
Well,
winning baseball.
It's the best in 8 years.
We're going to win, period.
But they were exactly. But if you think about it, if ownership and management were serious, you've got a team that's got a pretty good little core, a good young core, you know, Jonathan India, Tyler Stevenson, Vladimir Gutierrez. We got Jose Barrero. You may think Dari Moretta as a reliever is there, but you got Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo coming. I mean, you've got a pretty good young core. You could, you know, build around that core and put together a team that could be competitive over the next few years. Now, again,
Edgar Garcia,
the immortal. What about Cionel Perez? Is he still with the organization?
I don't know. Edgar Garcia is only 24.
Good. Lots more years of him.
Yeah. Plenty more time to enjoy.
So
great moments.
let's talk about what if the Reds were serious, what do they do this winter? I think there are some real, it's not that many things they would have to do to make this team legitimately a contender next year. Because, I mean, if you look at this year's team, if they just had put a bullpen together, they're probably at least closer to the playoffs, if not in the playoffs, because of all the games the bullpen blew, especially early in the year. So the first thing I wanted to ask you about was Castellanos.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, if it's not a dysfunctional organization, do you commit to doing everything you can to bring back Nick Castellanos?
Oh, you know, that's a good question. You know, he's going to be 30.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he's quote unquote an old 30, but I honestly don't know the answer to this. I don't know what players of his profile, how they age,
yeah.
Like how well they age. And I don't know what I would do there. I mean, he was pretty good. You know, it was really good.
He was good.
MVP, yeah. I mean, MVP candidate, probably not when you only walk 40 times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What would you do?
Well, I think that I don't do everything I can to bring him back, but I do a lot. I really try to bring him back. At some point, there's probably a number, even if, if we have an unlimited budget, that's one thing. But at some point, I mean, he's a star. I think he's a star, mm-hmm. And I think he'll be a star next year. I think you can make an argument. Hey, Nick, you became a star when you started playing at this bandbox, Great American Ballpark. You know,
I mean, it's very clear he was a massive doubles hitter all throughout his career.
Yeah, led the league,
and he still hit a lot of doubles, but an awful lot of doubles literally turned into home runs for him at GABP.
Yeah, and so 34 homers and 100 RBIs, both career highs. So, you know, I think you got a case to be made that, hey, your career benefits from this as well. But, you know, it depends on if there's a bidding war for him, because he's not a superstar.
No, that's a very good point. Now, so what do you, like, we can go way out, you know, 30,000 feet here. What's the best way to build a team? Superstars, stars, or average players, or, you know, above average players? Like, obviously you want nothing but those things, but if you have to choose, like, how many eggs go in one basket, I guess. Is it worth investing in stars who aren't superstars?
Who are the superstars that have played for the Tampa Bay Rays in recent years?
No, I think that's the answer, for at least one answer.
Yeah, it is a answer. An answer, if I knew how to speak English.
I mean, you somehow take guys like Justin Turner and turn them into semi-superstars.
Right, I don't know how that happened. Former Reds farmhand, Justin Turner. I think no worse than average everywhere and above average most places probably gets you pretty far, frankly. I don't know. You need those above average guys. And, you know, I think about the drop from Castellanos to who might play right field in his absence. And it kind of scares me a little bit. This team's not exactly deep in the outfield.
No. And they got lucky. Like, Tyler Naquin, I don't think can be counted on to do that again.
No, there's no way in the world you can count on him to do that. Truthfully, he ended up being a somewhat above average hitter, and I'm glad that the Reds had him, because the Reds really needed him, and he came through at a time when Winker was hurt and he went off again. But he had those two really hot stretches, and that was basically his year. He was below average the rest of the year, but still, the numbers are what they are. We're lucky to have him, but I'm not counting on him at age 31 next year.
Right. And I'm not counting on Max Schrock.
Well, I'll have to disagree with you on that one. I think he's a superstar in waiting.
He's the real deal. I'm not counting on TJ Friedl.
There's no reason. As much as I
mean, TJ Friedl had a better year in the major leagues than he'd ever had in the minor leagues since, he was in rookie ball as a overage 20 year old.
Yeah. He's a fifth outfielder. I mean, he's a depth guy. I don't have any problems with TJ Friedl. Got a little pop.
Just don't start him.
No, he's not. That's what I'm saying. If Castellanos is gone, who do you have? You can't, as much as that pains me to say it, you can't count on Nick Senzel in the outfield.
You can't count on Aristides Aquino.
You can't count on Aristides Aquino.
I mean, you got Jose Barrero, who's a really good outfielder.
That's what we're told.
You can't count on Shogo Akiyama.
And you can count on Winker when he's on the field, if we're talking about outfielders. But, he played 110 games this year.
Well, as of right this minute, the Cincinnati Reds have, as of the minute Nick Castellanos opts out, they'll have no reliable outfielders on their 40-man roster.
Yeah.
I mean, Winker, if he can stay on the field.
Yeah. Senzel, if he can stay on the field and produce somewhat like he did in the minor leagues, which were,
Senzel.
I'm giving up at some point, but not yet.
I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. Well, again, that comes back to hope is not a strategy, right? You can't count on those. I mean, you can. I'd count on Winker, but you're hoping he stays healthy. If he's healthy, he's going to hit. I don't think there's any question.
I think you got to pencil Winker in. But here, this will be here. I think Nick Senzel's an interesting point, because this will be the telltale sign of if the Cincinnati Reds are interested in being honest with their fans and with anybody. I'm not saying they're going to try, but if they come out and tell us, well, Nick Senzel is coming back and we expect him to be a really productive outfielder and counting on him to be the center fielder, then you'll know.
You sounded exactly like Nick Kroll there. That's good work.
Yeah. No, I didn't, because Nick Kroll would have said something to the effect of, well, Nick Senzel is Homo sapien.
He's a guy
who will be present in Cincinnati more or less during the season.
Yes. Thanks for clearing that up, Nick.
Yeah. No, but I mean, so because the Reds have shown us that they don't count on Senzel at all.
They did. They demonstrated that this year.
Yeah. He's not in their plans.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's his fault, their fault, or the baseball god's fault, their actions showed us that they are not happy with him, relying on him, believing in him. I don't know what it is, but it's one of those three things. So if they tell us, get excited for Nick Senzel bobblehead day on May 15th, well, then they're full of it.
Yeah. We know they're not serious. They're just trying to convince us. The conversation about bringing back Castellanos is wrapped up in this larger conversation about if the team is serious about competing next year, they have to construct an outfield and an outfield with some depth, because depth was what killed the Reds this year. So it's not just about Castellanos, but if you don't bring him back, the task is that much more difficult, because you don't have the guys within the organization to fill that outfield next year. You'll put Barrero in center field, which means another year of Kyle Farmer at shortstop. Which, if that happens, I don't know, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, and this is the end, right? Like, yeah, go back to that earlier conversation. Well, you know, you don't. There'll be no winning, but you will get to watch Kyle Farmer for many years in a row.
Right.
There's your trade.
Jose Barrero, you know, better defense, and not that Farmer was bad defensively. He certainly wasn't, but Farmer superior defensively, and he's the best, you know, hitting shortstop prospect the Reds have had in years. And you're going to make him move positions because he's blocked by Kyle Farmer?
Probably the least talented starting shortstop the Reds have had in 60 years. 70 years, perhaps.
Probably. Not.
I mean, I'm serious. I mean, yeah. You know, okay. It depends on how you feel about Alex Gonzalez, I guess.
Yeah. Orlando Cabrera for that 1 year.
I'd take him.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. He was a legitimate major league shortstop for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, and it sounds like we're hammering Farmer. Farmer is what he is.
It's not his fault.
Exactly. Let him play shortstop, second, third. Let him play all over the diamond next year. I don't care. But moving your, you know, big prospect shortstop to center field, although the Reds are going to need outfielders, so, you know, you can argue, but shortstop is such a key position. I just can't believe he would be blocked by Kyle Farmer. Go ahead.
So let's talk about shortstop. If you wanted to run this team, you've got four potential MVP superstar level shortstops on the free agent market this year. Now, I've overstated it a little bit because I don't like Javier Baez, but Carlos Correa, Corey Seager, Trevor Story. If you want to go defense, Anderson Simmons is available. All those dudes are going to be free agents this winter.
So do you try to bring in one of those?
The good guys are all under 30.
Yeah. I could see Corey Seager in this lineup.
Oh, Carlos Correa?
Okay, yeah, Carlos Correa, absolutely. He's number one of that group to me.
Javi Baez? The Reds should go out. No.
No.
The Reds should go out and get Carlos Correa, get Chris Bryant to play right field. Or no, put him in center and re-sign Castellanos. Boom.
Done. There you go. There's your team.
Now we move to pitching.
And then if Senzel works out, wow, what a great, you know, we have depth.
What a great trade chip.
for when Winker gets hurt. I mean, honestly, a trade chip. But, you know.
Whatever, he can play third base if the other guy doesn't hit again.
Yeah, but do you go out and get Correa? Well, again, this comes back to how much do you believe in Jose Barrero? And he's hit like mad on the minor league level, but, you know, he's got to do it at this level at some point. If you can get a Correa, you say, Jose?
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, you know. I don't mind him. I don't mind Barrero being blocked by a legitimate shortstop.
I mean, worst case scenario, you wait a year and then, you know, either Suarez is gone or Suarez is playing first base when Votto's gone or who knows what. But
yeah. So, okay. Now, we're going back to what we would do.
That's fantasy land.
It's all this is fantasy land. We know what the Reds are actually going to do, but come on, we're trying to stay away from that. What are your decisions on Tucker Barnhart and Wade Miley? Tucker Barnhart has a $7.5 million team option. $500,000 buyout. Wade Miley has a $10 million team option with a $1 million buyout. So if the Reds jettison both of those, they save a cool $16 million.
I would be spending $10.5 million and see if you can figure out what that means.
So I figured it. I figured it out. You're going to give Barnhart a raise and tell Miley goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Tucker will be thanked for his service and his winning ways. And I'll put his gold gloves in a box and leave him by the side of the road.
And we'll welcome him into the Reds Hall of Fame in a few years.
Yeah. I mean, well, here's
two gold gloves.
There is not a chance in the world that Tucker Barnhart gets that money from anybody else.
Yeah. So you let him test the waters, and but still open to bringing him back if he wants to. And he's kind of a local kid. He's from Indiana. So, you know, you think he's not going to get paid, did you say?
I don't think he will, but I think he wants to. So I think going to, and I don't think he'll, how to say it? Like, I just don't think he'll, I think he'll go and he won't come back.
Well, how often does that happen? That somebody goes and comes back. It just that
almost never, yeah. Almost never. And I think it'll be a pride thing for him.
Maybe. I mean, and if he get paid, great. I think, you know, again, if money's no object, I bring him back because I think he's a good caddy for Tyler Stevenson. He's not going to hit much, but defensively, obviously, he's good. And, you know, he's kind of showing Stevenson the ropes, but it's got to be with the idea that Stevenson's going to be playing. Really, Stevenson needs to be playing 75% of the games, just maybe not all of those at catcher. You know, he needs to be in the lineup as much as they can get his bat in the lineup. $10 million for Wade Miley seems like a no-brainer in a real world, right? A team that's trying to win.
Yeah, yep.
I mean, even if you think he's only going to be the number four starter next year, which is what I would count on him for. I don't know. You know, and you know what? Trade him at the trade deadline if you need to. It just seems like a...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's a worthwhile bet that he's going to be as good as he was last year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he could go back to being nothing. He could obviously get hurt. But here's the thing that I want to keep stressing. According to Baseball Reference, Wade Miley was the most valuable player on the Cincinnati Reds in 2021.
And they got some goofy, war calculations for pitchers, but still. I mean
he was
valuable.
He was the best pitcher they had.
Yeah.
Day in, day out, as far as providing high quality innings.
Yeah, no, I think that's a no brainer. Barnhart I would try to bring back if I could. I like the idea of Barnhart and Stevenson together. Can you get what you get from Barnhart though for less money somewhere else? Yeah, probably. I don't know if the Reds have anyone internally that can do that. But again, backup catchers are, you know, you can find them.
I am very pleasantly surprised, and by that I mean I just realized this, that Tyler Stevenson got 400 at-bats this year.
Yeah, he did.
He played more than Barnhart did.
I think if you look at starts at catcher, they were roughly equal.
Yeah, but he got that time at first base.
Yeah. Yeah, so
and he was probably the number one right hander off the bench most of the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. No, I mean they've got.
I'd like to see that get a little bit. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see him get 500 plate appearances if they can do it without wearing him out.
Yes, yes.
That dude looks hard to wear out.
He does. I mean, you know, he played some left field.
He's a stout man.
He's a stout young man. Yes. So I'm looking forward to watching him. That's one of my the most exciting things to watch for next year, I think. Okay, bullpen. Should have been the number one thing. If you're serious, they got to fix the bullpen, right?
Right.
I mean, they fixed it by sending Michael Lorenzen on his way, maybe.
Well, right. I mean, what do they do with Amir Garrett?
What do you do with Amir Garrett?
He's arbitration eligible again. I think he only made $1.5 million last year, but he'd be up for a pretty sizable raise, despite his. Far from cromulent performance in 2021.
I don't know what I do there.
I mean, I tell you what, he pitched a lot, man. They put him out there 63 times.
I know.
And he, like, what's going to change? Like, what if there's anything that can be fixed, how is it not fixed in 6 months of a season?
Yeah, I mean, I kept waiting for that moment when it was going to click for him.
He'd have a day here or a day there.
And it's not just it not clicking, but he just was, it wasn't that he was, you know, under average, below average is what we would say, rather than under average if I knew how to speak this language. Me fell English? That's impossible. He was bad, like worst reliever in the league bad.
I mean, he gave up a 799 OPS against last year, which you want to compare that. He basically made everyone has effaced into Tyler Naquin. Basically.
Listen, that's not good.
And that's, remember, look, you know, and he's getting platoon advantages half the, you know, I mean, a lot of the time.
Yeah.
He's almost always facing at least one lefty.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Agreed. I think he could probably have to, you know, I think you got to cut him loose. As much as I hate to say that, but, you know, we've been saying since the beginning, this guy has all the talent in the world. You can see the talent. But he's never really put it together. He had a short stretch where he was really good, but he's never really truly put it together.
I mean, his 2020 numbers look pretty good on the surface.
Right. How many games?
21 games, 18 innings.
Right.
You know, I mean, it wasn't even, he still walked 7 guys in 18 innings.
Yeah, I just...
He walked 10% of the guys he faced.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it. I think he probably have to let him go, and I don't know. I don't know how hard it is to fix a bullpen. You know,
I've never believed it was hard.
I haven't either. You know, look, they had Tony Santion, who they could have brought up at any time instead of depending on, you know, Kevin Quackenbush or whoever was out there this year. I did see that Quackenbush as a chose
Quackenbush
to be a
Brock
free agent. I'm always going to remember this season, and I'm always going to believe that Kevin Quackenbush was in the bullpen this year. Okay, another question I want to ask you about what we do if we're running this team and trying to run it in a non-dysfunctional manner. What do we do with Eugenio Suarez and Mike Moustakas?
Well, what can you do?
That's right. Exactly. They're both here next year.
Put Akiyama in there.
That's true. That's true.
Three dudes who are going to make, let's see, Moustakas makes 14. Suarez makes almost 11 million. Akiyama makes 7 million. Nope, sorry, that was last year. It's going to be 16, 11, and 8. So $35 million.
And you can't move any of them.
Over a quarter of the payroll are those three guys who basically perform like stiffs all year.
Yeah, you're not trading them.
I don't know what to think of Moustakas. Like, I try not to evaluate players based on their demeanor, and I'm very, 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 very reluctant to say someone isn't giving their 100% effort. But that guy looked disinterested when he was on the field. At least to me. Am I reading into that more? I mean, he just looked like he had somewhere else to go.
You know, I wondered if he just was never healthy, but he was still playing.
That could be it. That could be it. He just was not able to move at all.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It wasn't a good look, but again, you're right. We got to watch how much we read into that. But no, it didn't seem like he was – well, he didn't. He just was not a positive contributor at any time.
Like it just felt like a lot of, like, really quick at-bats.
Yeah, and I can't bend over for this ground ball.
Yeah, and a quick turn back to the dugout, and you know, I just want to say, you know, I mean, I'm not in very good shape myself.
Just say it. So yeah, that's what we're thinking.
I shouldn't point the finger at anybody else, and so I won't.
Okay. So Moustakas is not going back to second base.
No.
He's not playing first base, assuming health. Kyle Farmer's got short lockdown, or Carlos Correa, whoever, in our fantasy world.
Yeah, you're right. There is kind of a puzzle here, isn't there?
You got two guys who, I'm not sure either of them need to be in the lineup, but they're being paid a lot, and so they need to be in the lineup. That's the way it works.
A straight $29 million platoon at third base?
You could make the case. And again, if you want to look at the numbers from last year, you probably do make this case that your best bet is putting Barrero at short and hoping he can capture the magic they had in the minors, and put Farmer at third.
So $28 million bench players. Oh goodness!
I don't know. I mean, you know, the truth is, if I don't know that any team would do this, but. an economist would say, right? Those are sunk costs.
Sunk costs.
You got to just cut them loose. And you screwed up. You shouldn't have signed. I mean, I don't know how you could have predicted this happening to Suarez. Moustakas was never much more than a somewhat above average player at his best. And he's just, I mean, it's just true. He's not in good shape. I don't know if it was because he was not healthy this year or whatever, but there are a couple guys that came back from their minor league rehab stints that looked like they had been partaking of the clubhouse spread too much.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, I'm the same way. I'm not in the best shape of my life, so I shouldn't say anything, but I hope we hear that Moustakas is in the best shape of his life this spring. I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be a good story. I mean, Suarez has been in the best shape of his life a couple years in a row now. So. Yeah.
He quit drinking cerveza.
Yeah, well.
I don't know the answer to that one. That's when there's no good answer unless one of those guys returns to something approaching their former form. And, you know, Suarez is going to be 30 next year. Moustakas is going to be 33. Yikes, that one hurts my head. I don't want to think about it anymore. What about this question? What do we do about, do we seek to, okay, this comes back maybe to our discussion earlier about being the Tampa Bay Rays. Do we try to lock up Jesse Winker, Luis Castillo, Tyler Mahle, all or any of those guys to kind of longer term deals if we're running the team? Mm.
I mean, I probably would have been down for that with Winker if he hadn't missed the second half of the season.
Not Castillo?
No. I don't think I'll ever do that with a pitcher.
I mean,
win two Cy Youngs, and yeah, I'll give you a long-term contract.
You're having Homer Bailey flashbacks, aren't you?
I'm not, but just tell me a pitcher that, tell me on any team that you'd be happy with the player in their contract. There's definitely less than 10. And I'm talking about a free agent contract or a long-term extension.
Yeah. I would have done with Castillo 2 years ago.
Scherzer, Verlander, Kershaw, awesome.
Yeah, you're talking about Hall of Famers, though.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's kind of where I am. I don't know that anybody else is ever worth that money. Is it just a real disappointment at some point in that process, whether it's injury or performance?
I think with Castillo, you know, I think 2 years ago was the time to do it. Lock him up through age 30 or something. Mm-hmm. Kind of like they did with Cueto, frankly. And Tyler Mahle, same thing. You know, I don't have a problem trying to do that. The dude was good this year at age 26. Lock him up through age 30.
Yeah, if you want to take a guy who's good to very good and lock them up through a couple years of arb, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, while they're still young.
So Castillo, you're paying market rates at this point.
Yeah, they missed the boat probably on Castillo. What about T.J. Antone? You lock him up for the long term?
No, I do not.
Really? He had an earned run average of 2.14.
I don't think I do that.
Oh. So the answer really with this team is just, I don't know what the answer is. That to really be competitive next year, they're going to have to dip into the free agent market in some way.
Or make tough decisions
with current players.
I think the thing that probably irritates me as much as anything about the way the Reds handled the bullpen last year was their insistence on retreads and never were's and has-beens. Like, all season long, if you look at these guys that got all these innings, so many dudes on the wrong side of 30. You know, your Brocks, your Hembrys, your Doolittles, Osich. I mean, why in the world were the younger guys who actually have some talent, why was Tony Santillan down there so long?
He had options. That's what Nick Kroll told us.
Is he becoming the best AAA pitcher he could be?
Nick Kroll.
Yeah, Nick Kroll's fascination with options is going to get him in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. When this team needed relievers desperately. I mean, how many? I'll pull it up here, I guess. Heath Hembry pitched in 45 games. Brad Brock, 35 games. Both ERAs over 6.3. Amir Garrett, 63 games, ERA over six.
Yeah, sort that Reds pitching list by games in appearance. All right.
Okay.
There are in the top.
Oh my gosh, that's hideous.
Yes, in the top six: Garrett, wow. Sims, Doolittle, Hembry, Hendricks, Brock.
I don't even remember Hendricks pitching that much.
In the top six people that they pitched the most, four of them had ERAs of 5.97 or worse. Sean Doolittle was the second best pitcher who pitched a lot out of the Reds bullpen. And try that on for size.
Right. Is Hendricks even still with the organization? I think he is, right?
If you sort it by like the worst pitchers, like the worst pitchers got the most innings.
Oh my goodness.
Carson Fulmer, 20 games. Cionel Perez, 25 games. Heck, Michael Lorenzen, 27 games. Sal Romano, 14. I mean, they just kept trotting out the word. Jeff Hoffman, actually. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling, number one, that David Bell kept doing that, and number two, that Nick Kroll couldn't get him anything better to work with.
Yeah. Yeah, at some point, I do have issues with how Bell managed it, but my goodness. I mean, he just didn't have much to work with.
I mean, that might be the worst bullpen the Reds have ever had.
Boy, looking at it the way you suggested there, look at the most games, most appearances. Amir Garrett, Heath Hembry, Sean Doolittle, Ryan Hendricks, Brad Brock are five-year top six. Lucas Sims was the other one. That is outrageous.
And some, yeah, right. I mean, no, you know, I'm sure they wanted to pitch TJ Antone more.
Yeah, but.
But
oh.
What they don't do is run guys out of town on a rail when they've proven that they're no good.
Yeah, when someone shows you that they're bad, believe them.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to give Garrett chances. I can live with that. I didn't like it.
Yeah, but I get it.
I get it, but Heath Hembry? Brad Brock? What did they think Brad Brock was going to turn into?
At age 35.
I mean.
Yikes. Well, that's a more, a grist for the mill of if they just hadn't jettisoned two legitimate relief pitchers. One of whom was outstanding this year.
Just threw him away.
He just gave him away because it cost too much.
They're both free agents.
Yeah, they're coming back here, I'm sure. But you get those guys. You got, Rosell Iglesias pitching 45, 50 games, whatever. You got Archie Bradley pitching in 45, 50, 60 games, whatever. How many appearances is that you don't have to watch Heath Hembry or Ryan Hendricks or Brad Brock? It changes this, just those two pitchers. I'm not willing to say that's going to, would have turned him into a playoff team just by those two guys being present. But man, it really changes a lot about this team because you don't have, Brad Brock, Heath Hembry finished 16 games. He got eight. Brad Brock led the team, or tied for the team lead in saves with eight. Tied with Michael Givens, who I won't remember in 5 years.
He'll be one. Yeah, he's definitely going to be a guy.
Yeah.
A guy we remember. Hey, remember that guy?
Yeah.
So look, I know wins above replacement isn't the best, but let's game it out, right? I mean, Bradley pitched 51 innings, 53 games, and had a 0.7 WAR, Baseball Reference. Not great.
Right.
All right, but let's just see if we can find 53 innings, 51 innings to replace here. Oh, okay. Well, Amir Garrett threw 47 innings. How about that? We'll replace Amir Garrett's innings.
There you go.
And Amir Garrett in those innings, and we wouldn't replace Garrett, but it was -3. So there's one win we just picked up.
There you go.
Iglesias pitched 70 innings and had a 2.8 ERA. 2.8 WAR.
Gosh, for a reliever. That's great.
So let's find 70 innings. Well, Brad Brock threw 30. And Sean Doolittle threw 38. So there you go. There's 70. No, let's take Hembree's. 42. So we're going to replace Hembree and Brock. Right?
Yep.
So Hembree. And that's actually pretty realistic.
Yeah.
Hembree was 0.5. So that's 3.3 wins so far. Brock was negative 0.6. So that's 4 wins. We picked up 5 wins.
Between the
swapping,
two.
By swapping those two guys out for the three biggest stiffs in the bullpen.
Two guys the Reds already had. It's not like they had to go out and get anybody.
So now the Reds win 86 games instead of 83.
No, 88, right? You said it's a...
They say 3 wins?
Oh, I thought you said... Good grief. I was told there would be no math.
Whatever. They beat the Cardinals.
More wins.
Now they're in the World Series.
They're in the World Series if they just keep those guys. I think we've decided.
Simple math, guys.
It's just math. Let's answer some viewer mail questions, if you don't mind, Mr. Garber.
All right.
First question comes from Joe Farsing. I think anticipating that it's me and you on here tonight. What's your favorite Simpsons Treehouse of Horror sketch? Now, I will say that I didn't give Chris these questions ahead of time, so I'll give you a second to think about it. Maybe you can come up with one. I'll go ahead and say mine. Favorite Simpsons Treehouse of Horror sketch. That's the Treehouse of Horrors is every year Simpsons does this crazy, it's not canon, these sketches, okay? they get crazy. My favorite one by far was called Citizen Kang. And this is where Kang and Kodos, the aliens, take over the bodies of Bill Clinton and Bob Dole running for president. And the line that I remember is abortions for some, miniature American flags for others.
Well, I appreciate you giving me more time to think about this and then promptly taking my answer.
Oh, sorry. That's the best one.
Yeah, that is the best one. And my favorite line, I'm glad you didn't at least steal that, is when the Bob Dole character, the Kang and Kodos abduct Dole and Clinton through some sort of alien abduction deal.
It's not canon.
But they suck them up into outer space. And the way they do that is through a giant glass cylinder that they put over top of the presidential candidates, and I believe it like vacuums their clothing off. But Bob Dole, who when this happens, he looks around and says, "What is this? Some kind of tube?"
Bob Dole wants to know.
Yes.
Oh my goodness! Man. That's if you haven't seen that
twirling,
one.
Twirling, twirling,
twirling. So good.
It's good.
Any others pop to mind immediately?
Is Treehouse of Horror the one where Lisa creates the little world in a petri dish?
I think so. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. The city. Yeah, and
the aliens, they quickly evolve to sentient life and develop spaceships and so forth.
Yeah, that's a good one. There was one. It seems like where Groundskeeper Willie was Freddy Krueger. that I thought was pretty good. I remember that one. I don't know.
Wasn't there a fly episode?
There is. Bart. there's one where Homer became 3D. He went into the real world.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Which was pretty good. So anyway, The Simpsons. We talk about The Simpsons every time you're on here. I'm not sure why. Next question. Thanks for that question, Joe. It's a good one. I guess we'll be getting a Treehouse of Horror here soon. It's about that time of year. The Simpsons is still on the air. Goodness gracious.
This is the only one I'll watch all year now, too.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Seth Shaner asks, again, these questions come from our friends at patreon.com/redlegradio, patreon.com/redlegradio. Seth Shaner's question is this. Two questions. Seth, come on, you're getting greedy. First, what needs to happen to be pleasantly surprised about this upcoming Reds offseason? Well, we kind of just talked about that, and I'm just going to say don't get your hopes up. B, how do I determine which chapters of The Big 50 were written by Chris and which ones were written by Chad? Well, that's obvious.
Just pick which one you like. That's mine.
Exactly. The best ones? Whichever ones you like the best? Those are Chris's. The truth is, people don't know this, Chris wrote 47 of the 50. I just, you know, gave editorial suggestions.
Yeah, you know, you did skim them all.
I did. I briefly looked over a couple of those chapters. A couple of them I didn't get time to get to. But.
Yeah, it's fine. It's
fine. James Urban. Go ahead.
I think we might have told this before, but we divided up the list and we both kind of made first drafts of 25, but we traded back and forth each chapter 3, 4, 5 times. And so I think the idea was to make it pretty seamless. So you shouldn't be able to tell, one person wrote one versus the other. So
yeah, I could go through,
we both ended up writing a lot.
Yeah. I could go through it and pick out which ones I wrote first drafts on, but the way the chapters turned out, you can't tell because there was so much back and forth, and each of us had free reign to kind of make suggestions and change, and you know, it was a pretty open process.
It was probably more we divided up the research, I would say, as much as anything.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. And then actually polishing it and making it sound right fell to both of us. So, but Chris's chapters were still the better ones. James Urban, everyone talks about how baseball has to change to get more viewers, but I can't help but think it doesn't need more viewers. If you change too much, the game we fell in love with isn't the same anymore. Just wondering where you guys stand on this. Does baseball need a big overhaul, or is it in a spot that is already good enough? You got some thoughts there, or you want me to dive in?
Go ahead. I'm about to make a joke.
I like jokes.
I don't have it right, though.
So okay. I would say that every sport changes more than baseball constantly. The sport of basketball is not the same sport of basketball we watched in the 1980s when I fell in love with basketball. Football is not the same game. I don't think change for change's sake's a good thing, but I don't think there's anything kind of untouchable about the game. I mean, the game's changed anyway over the years, you know. Baseball is more hesitant to change, but I like baseball. And if it's a good baseball game, I don't mind watching a 4.5-hour good baseball game. My goodness, some of these playoff games have been, I don't know how they're taking so long. And
that's what bothers me.
People are going to say that you don't like baseball if you
Well, you know what? Maybe I don't, and maybe that's a problem. I mean, a guy who's been a massive fan of baseball for over 45 years, who wrote a damn book about it, and I'm driven insane by watching 2 hours of baseball in the 4.5-hour window.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing that gets me. I like baseball. I just want more baseball in my baseball games. I want less batting glove adjusting. Right. I want less pitchers taking 8 seconds to settle into their set position. Like,
yeah, and the pitcher thing is a direct result of this analytical revolution in baseball, frankly, because they're going max effort on every pitch, so they got to kind of take some time to collect themselves. And I don't know. I think baseball does need a big overhaul. That's my opinion. I think the game right now. I love the game. I'm going to keep watching it, but I don't think it's even not just the playoffs. I don't think it's a pleasant viewing experience most of the time with the shifts and the, you know, home run or nothing here on Home Run Derby. I don't think that's as fun a sport. Maybe that's me being the old man yelling at clouds.
I want baseball players to make baseball plays. I understand the difference between what is right in terms of winning a game and what is aesthetically pleasing to a fan. And I think we've gone way too far on the first. And, you know, the question presupposes maybe you don't need baseball fans, but I think you do. And I think the fact that neither of my kids who play baseball all the time will watch a game on TV with me is a problem long-term.
My son loves playing baseball, loves it. I can hardly get him to watch a game with me. He likes watching highlights on Instagram. He doesn't want to sit and watch a baseball game. That's got to be a problem.
It is. And my kids will watch football.
Is that right?
I mean, they don't watch football as much as, you know, you and I watch football, or even as much as I watch football now, but they'll watch a football game. They'll watch an NFL game.
Yeah.
Because it's every 35 seconds, there's action.
What's that like? Well, so what they say, football combines the two worst elements of American society. Extreme violence punctuated by meetings.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think baseball does need an overhaul. Maybe that's just me being the old guy. I don't feel like I'm that old.
I mean, I was watching a game. I don't know what night it was. I fell asleep before the damn thing was over. And I got out my the app, my stopwatch app on my phone. And I was like, I'm interested to see how long they're taking between pitches. You know, the minor league's pitch clock is 25 seconds. And I believe it starts when the pitcher catches the ball. Mm-hmm. Back from the catcher, it's 25 seconds, and I believe it's as long as they're beginning to come set, they're you know, that's okay in 25 seconds, and even then, like, they kept going past it, but even then, like, you watch and you're like, Jesus, this is taking forever, and it's like 28 seconds, so even a pitch clock of 25 isn't going to. Like, save the day.
It'll help. But,
yeah. The trick is, and it's a hard trick, finding a way to get more balls in play.
Yes.
Fewer strikeouts, fewer walks, and fewer home runs, unfortunately.
Yeah, the truth is...
keep the number of home runs. I don't care, but we need the balls bouncing around on the field.
Yeah, strikeouts are become, you know, groundouts. More singles, frankly, doubles. I like that stuff. I think that's the biggest challenge, frankly. I think I would watch a longer game if there's actual action on the field. You know, if players are making plays, if the ball's being put into play. So.
And you can't, the trick is you can't monkey with the strike zone because that just trades walks for strikeouts or strikeouts for walks.
Yeah, that doesn't improve the product aesthetically.
Yeah.
Hooper Powell asks, can we offer the assistant general manager of the Tampa Bay Rays free skyline for life to take over for Nick Kroll? Sure.
Well, you know, a three-way is the kind of meal that you may occasionally think about eating. It involves multiple ingredients and is usually served in restaurant or takeout locations.
Chris with his world-renowned Nick Kroll impression.
I'm like Frank Caliendo over here.
That's right. I mean... Oh, that's a laugh a minute here. The problem with that, Hooper, is just that getting some smart guy from the Rays is not the answer because you got to get the ownership to give that person free rein and support what they're doing. And you don't have that here. Kyle Kapler, I love you, buddy. It's probably a good question. I don't understand it. I'm just going to tell you. So we're running short on time, so we're going speed around here.
Send back another draft.
Yeah, send it back next week. Mike Perry, over or under 60% the chance that the Reds go over 500 next season. So he's putting the over under line at 60%.
I definitely don't understand this. 60% they win 50%.
What is it? 60% of the time, it works every time. okay, what are the chances the Reds go over 500 next year? I say, actually, if you think about it this way, I think the chances the Reds go over 500 in 2022 is, it's not going to happen.
It's less than this year.
I think it's less than this year. So I'm going to pick your under, Mike.
Under.
Nathan Connor, front office is going in a new direction, possibly an old direction, yeah. The owner loves hometown favorites, relationship with Senzel on the skids, Shogo hasn't lived up to his contract. I like the short and pithy sentences here, Nathan. Castellanos likely opting out. Billy Hamilton is an unrestricted free agent. Just saying.
Dogs and cats living together.
Mass hysteria. That's not a question, but I like your comment, Nathan. Rich Thompson, the shortest question he's ever asked. Thank you. Dear Chad and Chris, Chad and Quiss. For the 2022 season, who is likely to be the starter on opening day at shortstop? Here's the options. Kyle Farmer, Jose Barrero, Matt McClain, Nick Senzel, or someone else brought in from outside of the organization.
Is Matt McClain the guy they just drafted?
No, I think he was he won 30 games for the Tigers some years back.
Die Hard?
I started to say Die Hard. Instead, I went with a Denny McClain reference.
Yeah, very good.
The answer is Kyle Farmer.
I think the answer is Kyle Farmer. Okay. You know what? Who knows? Maybe they go with Jonathan India at short, Moustakas at second.
That's another podcast.
Dogs and cats.
Last question, Joey Gaditza. Hey, guys, with Halloween quickly approaching, if you could put Bob Castellini in a costume, what would it be? There's only one answer to this, Chris. Do you want to?
Go ahead.
He's a clown. He's just a clown.
I was going to go with the Scarecrow from Wizard of Oz.
Okay. If I only had an owner. Chris, any final thoughts, man?
Negative.
No, this was fun. This was fun, I guess. I don't know.
Bad vibes only, Chad.
Bad vibes only. All right, so this is episode number 397 of Red Leg Nation Radio. For Chris Garber and President Kang, this is Chad Dotson saying so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from RedLegNation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app and join us for discussion of all things Reds at RedLegNation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.